Now we're about to have a conversation with Martha Rosenberg. Martha Rosenberg is a freelance reporter whose work appears in lots of media outlets, including Op-Ed, News.com, Alternet, Counterpunch, author of Born with a Junk Food Deficiency, How Flax, Quacks, and Hacks Pimp the Public Health. And she wrote an op-ed piece on the explosion in Texas, and we have asked her to join us to talk about that. And Martha, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. I'm really happy to be with you.
And y'all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages and send your questions and ideas that way. But join us here at 410-319-8888. We talked yesterday to one of the reporters from the public radio station in Waco, Texas, where this took place. And they've been reporting it. But I want you to get underneath of it in some ways that some journalists can't, just because of the nature of what they do. We've had discussions here that, in some ways, this very forgotten thing in the face of the Boston Marathon terror attack has gotten lost completely. And some people are calling this, in some ways, corporate terror, which is kind of, in some senses, what you're saying.
Well, I didn't call it corporate terror.
No, you did
terror.
Not. I'm saying in some senses. I felt right.
I definitely notice that it's not received any of the coverage of the Boston event, and also past industrial events like minor mishaps, and you know it's not been covered. But I also was interested in covering this event because the governor, right now, while this is going on, is in Chicago recruiting businesses to relocate to Texas, and I felt there was a real irony in that. He ran the big radio and print campaigns here in Chicago, and one of his ads actually read, and this is a quote, "Your situation is hopeless, like a burning building on the verge of collapse," unquote, meaning the people who do business here in Illinois. And I thought, my gosh, this is so incredibly tacky to be doing this while his own state has this catastrophe going on.
And it was a catastrophe. We're talking about an explosion that happened on April 17th in West Texas. We talked about yesterday. The West Fertilizer Company plant. 14 people were killed and 160 more injured. Dozens of buildings destroyed.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge event. You know, I've not been there myself, but it is really in a residential area. And this plant is actually near two schools. And, you know, Reuters and New York Times and now Dallas Morning News are all reporting that there were major regulatory lapses with this West Fertilizer in terms of the true dangers that it posed that the regulators were letting slide. And one example that I found pretty shocking, because Perry is saying, come to Texas, we won't regulate you, you know.
Right.
That the state of Texas environmental inspector noted that there were two schools near this plant and said he did not feel there was a danger of impact, any environmental dangers there. And then the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality said that the only risk that this plant posed could be dealt with by building a wall between the plant and the road, you know, the highway. And so, you know, what they did is they gave the company a pass. And then federally, OSHA had not investigated or inspected the plant since the mid-'80s. And so, you know, you can see that this is, at least this is how I feel as a reporter, that this is kind of the lack of regulation that Perry is here in Chicago promoting.
Well, it is pretty outrageous. I mean, the plan had, from what I've read, 1,350 times the legally allowed amount of ammonium nitrate, which is hugely explosive material. I mean, they hid the truth. I mean, it's as if you know, they were supposed to inform the Department of Homeland Security, and they didn't do that. I mean, it's pretty insane.
Well, it is insane, and you know, the sad thing about some of these dangerous businesses is they really employ very few people. I could be wrong on this, so I hope I'm not, but I think it said there were only 9 employees.
Right, I think I read that as well.
And yet, you're talking about almost 200 people injured. So, you know, when these businesses come to a state or try to waive, safety regulations, they always say, well, we bring jobs. And, you know, the cynic in me says, yeah, for paramedics and trauma surgeons, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, what is an interesting quote that was in the Charleston Gazette. Ken Ward is another journalist. He wrote that who's covered the Upper Big Branch mine explosion and other things. He tweeted this, and I just want to share it with you. He tweeted, terrorists want media attention, so we give it to them. Unsafe industries don't want media attention, so we give that to them.
Wow. That is very profound, and it's very true. And, of course, when these events happen, you know, at the same time, it is true that they'll go with the, you know, quote-unquote sexiest story, the one that most people, you know, think is so interesting. But, yeah, this is very underreported. You know, there's another thing I wrote in the op-ed piece, which I felt was really significant. I interviewed Gail Collins, who, you know, is a columnist at the New York Times, and she wrote a book pretty recently called As Texas Goes, and I interviewed her about it, and she's pretty ruthless about Governor Perry, but she said that he had vetoed legislation that would have protected farm workers from being in the fields while they're being sprayed. And I said, this can't be true. Are you saying that they were okay to spray human beings with pesticides? And she said, no, it wasn't that. They just felt that the owners of these fields could be trusted to self-regulate. You know,
right.
So that is so telling, you know.
The self-regulation is becoming part of the of America's world. We're doing a story on that on Thursday about the poultry industry now being inspected by themselves in their slaughterhouses.
Yeah, that's a very good example. The entire poultry and meat industry has more and more gone in that direction since, I would say, the last 20 years because the plants don't really want the feds to regulate them. They're like, trust us, you know, which is fine until the salmonella and workers get killed. And, you know, yeah, the poultry is a great example of the self-regulation. And this is, you know, to me, for him to be here in Chicago while this is going on, recruiting business to come and potentially blow up like West Fertilizer, I feel it's really a tacky moment in media. And our two politicians here in town, the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, and the governor, Pat Quinn, have both made kind of snide remarks. And one of them said, we appreciate his media spend, but we don't expect our businesses will want to go there. And they made a joke about here in Illinois, we don't have to measure our showers, you know, because of the drought there, you know. But the idea of being here with a message of no regulation when this mishap very clearly is correlated with no regulation.
So, Martha, what do you know about what comes next? I mean, what is going to have what's going to happen next? Is anybody investigating this? Is OSHA investigating? Is the federal prosecutors investigating what happened to this plant? I mean, where is it?
Well, I would guess, and I normally don't cover these kinds of events, but I would definitely guess it would be both a state and federal investigation. And I understand that this is a privately owned company and that they're not necessarily cooperating with anyone. But certainly it now is an OSHA issue. The New York Times had said that OSHA has a program called National Emphasis Plan, and it covers this type of thing, let's say combustible dust or hazardous machinery, and this West Fertilizer was not covered in this program of OSHA because they said, well, they don't make explosives. You know, so that feels to me like a big hole in federal regulation because clearly this ammonia is, you know, very explosive and dangerous, and I don't know how it could be any more dangerous.
So it is pretty shocking. So are you following up with the story, or are you moving on? Is this the story you're going to stay with?
Well, to be really honest, I follow up more with Rick Perry, the governor, than I do with this particular thing because I'm kind of intrigued with him as a leader in this no regulation movement. You know, So I won't necessarily be following this industrial accident per se. I do write about chemicals and agricultural chemicals, which this is very involved with.
So what does it say to you about Rick Perry beyond what you said?
Well, you know, you know, as I said, with allowing workers to possibly be sprayed with pesticides, that he's leading a kind of, capitalistic free-for-all that I feel its consequences are really pretty evident to anybody who's looking. And, you know, and I think they said in Chicago, Mayor Emanuel said he's not, something like he's not the sharpest knife in the box, because they reminded of his speech where he forgot one of the departments he wanted to abolish.
Right. I remember that very well.
So I don't feel that he's a capable administrator for the state in light of this week's events.
Well, you know, in talking about this week's events and how they were covered, one of the things I was thinking about, just in terms of the world that we work in journalism, is what has happened to journalism? What's happened to journalism covering worker safety, and what's happened to workers? I remember in 1968, because I remember it, I was there,
that
Walter Cronkite, when the Farmington mine explosion occurred in 1968, and 78 miners were killed, Walter Cronkite camped out 4 days in the middle of the winter and did in-depth stories about the explosion, its aftermath. It was one of the reasons that they had to pass the 1969 Coal Mine Health and Safety Act, because of the work he did as a TV journalist to expose it. And he kept on going after worker safety. But nobody's doing that. Nobody is, you know, we need to cover what happens in Boston. We need people to hear what happened then and understand it and get beneath it and really explain that and work that story, because it's important. But these things, these kind of stories, are not being covered. And so that kind of journalism that doesn't allow power to get away with things is doing just that.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, Mark. I don't know how much longer we have, but I do cover the meat industry, and there was a story about maybe 3 or 4 years ago in which workers in a pork plant were getting a really weird neurological and possibly irreversible disease. No one cared. It's almost like the workers don't matter, you know? And you're absolutely right. It's below the media radar, these stories, and this is a huge amount of people to be injured. Houses were flattened. You know, I'm sure animals were killed. You know, people were relocated. There was first it was a fire, then explosion. Another thing that the news reports mentioned was way back in 2006, neighbors had complained about the ammonia smell, and yet this plant was given 2 more air permits. So this sounds like a real example of federal and state regulators giving a pass to industry because of this whole idea of, development is good without regulation. And the neighbors and the workers have really suffered.
So I think it's important to those kind of stories, and that's what has to – these things have to be pushed. I'm just curious where this is going to go, and we're actually going to do our best to keep covering this West Fertilizer Company and see where this takes us, because it's it cries out for it, and you're only seeing the kind of progressive media really go after it, and so it's sometimes like you're talking to yourself.
Well, you're right. And there's another issue too, Mark, which is a lot of times when these dangerous operations have an event, they're in really empty areas where a lot of people are really not affected, you know, and so people say, well, you know, it's in the middle of, you know, but I think the irony with this is how many first responders and paramedics were affected.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just reprehensible any way you slice it, and it's just such an example of self-regulation not working and really being a dangerous concept, and you know, we see it everywhere, you know, but this manufacture, these chemicals, you know, anybody would know that they're explosive or potentially, I mean, they're high pressure gases, you know.
No, exactly. And I think it seems to me that I'm just surprised nobody is covering about that the people who own this plant, that ran this plant, are not being charged with criminal charges. Nobody's talking about that, it seems, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah. Well, the industrial sector is probably very underreported in general. You know, I cover a lot of the meat issues, and you'll see the same thing when egregious things will happen, and there won't be charges. Nobody will bring charges, and they'll say, "Oh well, you know, you're on your honor to be good for 30 days." You know, this kind of thing. And again, it almost feels like this gap between the urban and the rural. If it's out, like Gail Collins talks a lot in her book about empty spaces.
Right.
But when it's out in these empty spaces, it doesn't get the reporting. So I have to say, Reuters, New York Times, and Dallas Morning News have done a good job covering it.
I think you're right. And I appreciate you being part of this program today and sharing your work. Martha Rosenberg is a freelance writer, writes for many, many groups, opednews.com, alternate, op-ed news where we found this. Her book is Born with Junk Food Deficiency, How Flax, Quacks, and Hacks Pimp the Public Health. And look forward to seeing that book myself. I've not seen it, but I plan to take a look at that. And Martha, thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. It was great to talk to you, and maybe we'll talk again. Thank you.
We will, I'm sure.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Folks, take a brief break here, and when we come back, we're going to switch gears and talk to Rod Rosenstein, who is the U.S. Attorney for the State of Maryland. When we do talk to him, we'll be talking about this indictment that came down of 25 people, Black Gorilla Family, and 13 corrections officers were indicted as well for drug smuggling and more. So we'll come up with that in a moment. So don't go away. Stay with us.